Good morning, Renewal. Our scripture reading for today comes from Exodus 3, 11 through 17. I'm going to give you a moment to pull this up in your personal Bible. You're also welcome to follow along on the screen, but keep in mind that the text on the screen will come down during the sermon. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey.' This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
Okay. Thank you, Delphine. And today, as we continue in worship through the word, we're thankful that God has brought us a guest preacher to share with us this morning. So can I invite Pastor Danny Kwan up? Pastor Danny Kwan, with his PhD, serves as a senior director of youth ministry content and cross-cultural initiatives for Rooted Ministry, which trains churches and parents to disciple their teenagers and children. Before joining Rooted, Danny Kwan served as a youth and family pastor at an Asian American church outside of Philadelphia for 29 years. He is married to Monica, a Christian counselor and psychologist, and they have three children. He has authored four books, including his newest book, co-authored with his wife Monica, entitled Teenagers and Mental Health, a handbook for parents, pastors, and youth leaders. He also serves as an adjunct professor at Eastern University and enjoys sports, eating, reading, and making people laugh, and now is a ministry volunteer in his local church. Let's open our hearts as we welcome Pastor Danny Kwan to share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to this church. My brother, he was a doctor in Philadelphia, and he recently moved to San Diego, but he was an elder at a local PCA church, and then he took some time off, and he attended this church for a little bit before he moved, and he really enjoyed your congregation. We are native Philadelphians. We are raging Eagles fans. Just to let you know, we are still defending Super Bowl champions for a few more hours. Go Birds! We were season ticket holders to the Eagles game, even though as a pastor, I only went to like two games a year because church and God was calling me over the Eagles. But thank you to your congregation. And I was asked to preach 25 minutes to keep the sermon short. I'm short, and I'm usually a short preacher anyway, so I will try my best to keep it to 25 minutes because you have an important congregational meeting. And just to affirm Pastor Addison and your ministry here, please stay for the congregational meeting. I have no stake in that, but I'm just asking you to do that. Yep. When I was a young kid, My parents worked in the dry cleaning, so they left me alone a lot. And there was a day that just flipping through the channels of the TV, I was really young, like 8 or 9 years old. I turned on this movie, Salem's Lot. It was this horror movie, and I didn't know what horror movies were, but I turned on this movie, and it scared me, like really scared me and horrified me. And to this day, I cannot watch horror movies. It is the scariest thing to me. But there is one thing more scary to me than seeing horror movies. And to me, that thing is seeing Jesus face to face. I don't know why. You know, being in a Asian Korean immigrant church for 29 years, you know, we had these things called all-night prayer meetings where we would stay in the sanctuary and pray all night. And I enjoyed these all-night prayer meetings, but sometimes I would do it by myself because I thought I was making me more holy. And I would pray all night and sit in the sanctuary on my knees praying. And there was this one time where I heard a sound in the back. And I was praying on my knees at the front of the church. And I heard this sound and the door opening. And I'm like, oh no, it's Jesus. He's coming to see me face to face. And then I heard the door open and I heard footsteps coming to me. And I'm like, it's really Jesus. And then somebody was right over my shoulder and I could hear the breathing. And I'm like, is that how Jesus breathes? And I was like, oh no, Jesus is appearing face to face. And I was so scared. And I just kept on praying, Jesus, Jesus. Like I started repenting. And I was so scared. I'm like, gee, and I was so scared. Like whoever it was, if it was Jesus, going to tap me on the shoulder. But I never looked up. In our passage today, Jesus, in God himself, had appeared to Moses. In Exodus 3:2, it says, the angel of the Lord looked to Moses out of the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. This burning bush was the appearing of God to Moses, which we call theologically a theophany. The word theophany derives from two Greek words, theos, God, and the word for appearing. So this was God appearing to Moses face to face. And he was appearing to him because the people of God were crying out, and God was coming to his people, to Moses. And in Ephesians 3, God says to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people. And in verse 10, he says, I send you, Moses, to bring my people out of Egypt. The appearance of God face to face with Moses. But in seeing Moses' response tells us a lot about you and I and how we might live our lives and respond to the good news of the gospel. It might tell a lot about our living in the kingdom of God on this earth. And first thing I want you to notice is how Moses responds to God's appearing to him in theophany, the appearance of God face to face, the appearance of God who comes and says, I've seen the affliction of my people. And I am here, Moses, for you to go and bring out my people. Because Moses' response is proclaiming to God the impossibility of the situation. In verse 11, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the children of Israel? And in verse 13, he responds, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of my fathers has sent you, and what if they ask me your name? What shall I tell them? He is proclaiming this impossibility despite this theophany, this seeing the appearance of God. You know, in my life, I had two out-of-body experiences where I shook and almost fainted and almost fell over. And one of those moments was about 7 years ago when my wife was feeling weird and strange and she got a colonoscopy. And after the colonoscopy, as she was waking up from her anesthesia, the doctor called me in as my wife was waking up and he said, he just was nodding. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can tell. I can tell just from looking inside her. It's stage 4 cancer. It's stage 4 cancer. Your wife has the worst form of colon cancer. And I just started shaking. And I couldn't control myself. And I was like, what am I going to do? God, help me. God, help us. My wife is crying. I'm crying. And I'm like, this is impossible. Even though I'm a Christian, I was just couldn't control my emotions, my body, my feelings. Just picturing, my wife's gonna die. My wife's not gonna survive. What am I gonna do? What's my kids gonna do? You know, we face so many impossible situations in this broken life of ours, in this world that is sinful and broken. Pastor Tim Keller talks about in his book, The Meaning of Marriage. He says, as a pastor, I've spoken to thousands of couples working on marriage, seeking marriage help, seeking how to sustain and save marriages. And I've heard them say over and over, love shouldn't be this hard. It should come naturally. Sometimes marriage can seem impossible. It can seem hard. This morning I whispered over to Pastor Addison and I said, wow, I am so impressed by your church. Especially, it's so cold and you guys are all coming out. And especially the parents with young children coming out with kids. I mean, when I was a young parent, I'd be like, just forget it. I'm not going to church. I mean, raising young children is hard. It can seem impossible. Physically, the sleepless nights can seem hard. But let me tell you, raising young children is hard. But the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is raising teenagers. Raising young kids is physically hard, but raising teenagers, it is spiritual warfare. Be ready. You can come see my wife, who's a counselor and psychologist, if you need it. Raising teenagers can seem impossible. Some of you who are not married and don't have kids yet, if you're single or you're a young couple with not kids, I have three boys who are in their 20s. Early and mid-20s, and they think about marriage, future, career. They're in different careers. My oldest is an actor or aspiring actor or an actor who's never going to get a job. My middle son is in finance, works in King of Prussia. My youngest is a biomedical engineer. And they all think about marriage, future, career. And these questions can seem like huge questions. And the Bible acknowledges, does not hide from the fact in the testimony of Exodus that we have sometimes impossible, difficult situations in our life. And secondly, I want you to notice the response to God, to Moses, when he expresses the impossible situation. It says, Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God said to him, "But I will be with you, and this is my sign for you." And then in verse 13, Moses said, "What if I go to my people and they say, 'Who is asking me? Who is his name? What shall I say to them?'" And then God says to Moses, "I am who I am. Tell them, 'I am has sent me to you.'" When Moses expresses that this is impossible, this is hard, I don't know what to do, the future is so uncertain, God responds in grace, "But I will be with you. I am has sent you." It is the gospel response of God in his love, his tender care and compassion and love, that is always his response to your doubts, to your fears, to your fatigue, to your tiredness, to your view that things are impossible. That for you and I to have a clear understanding of the beauty of the gospel response of God. You know, when Jesus commissioned the disciples in Matthew 28, and he said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And in Matthew 28, 20, where he commissioned them to go. Right before, in verse 17, right before he commissioned them, it says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted." But some doubted. And even in the disciples' doubt, Jesus still showed his gospel love and commissioned them. A couple months ago, a former student of mine that I married them in their wedding, two of them, they came to me because they were estranged. They were living apart for a year because they were having so much trouble in their marriage. And I asked the girl, Why didn't you get divorced? Not that I wanted them to get divorced, but I asked, "What's keeping you from divorce?" And she's like, "You know, Pastor Danny, I know if I get divorced, I'm going to hell." And I'm like, "Of course, I don't want them to get divorced, but my temptation is to say, yeah, you're going to go to hell." You know, that's not the gospel. Like, I really had to explain to her, "I really don't want you to get divorced." And my temptation in the flesh was to say, "Yeah, you're going to go to hell if you get divorced." But I had to explain to her, if you get divorced, you will not go to hell. That's not the gospel. That's not God's way of doing things. If you doubt, if you sin, if you struggle. Of course, as pastors, and Pastor Addison, I am sure, want you to pray more and read your Bible more and come to church and attend small group. But sometimes you might not feel like praying. Your spiritual life might not be full and alive and vibrant. Sometimes you might not want to read the Bible. Sometimes you might not want to attend small group. We know that this is healthy for your growth in God. We know that this is a response to the good news of the gospel of Christ. But never let these things, your doubts and your struggles, and even maybe feeling like faith is impossible or life circumstances make things impossible, never let that doubt God's love for you. Amen? Never let that dissuade the truth of God. Because God, in his Old Testament theophany of the burning bush of Moses. The appearing of God face to face came to us. Not through the burning bush, but as a baby in a manger. Lived the life of righteousness that we could never live. And he went to the cross in our behalf and took our sins. And that is the most beautiful theophany of God. And in Exodus 3, God foreshadows Jesus when he says to Moses, and he says to you and I am who I am in verse 14. He says to the people, tells Moses to say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say to the people, Moses, the Lord your God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The God of the past, the God who is with you now, I am. That God will be with you in the future. This God of theophany, this idea of the I am who I am. We don't have time to exegete all of it, but he is saying to Moses, I am who I am is the God who is self-existent and not dependent on anything. It is the God I am who is the creator and sustainer of all that exists. It is the God I am who is immutable and unchanging in character. It is the God I am who is eternal and in existence forever. It is the God I am who in John 8:58 says, before Abraham, I am. It is this belief that Christianity is not just a faith that is a blind faith, that in the impossible, that in our doubts, in our fears, in our struggles, it is not a blind faith, but it is a faith in the God past, present, and future, who is the I am, the great I am. And in Christ, the I am is fulfilled. And that is who we are called to trust when we're faced with the impossible, when we're full of doubts and unknown and need to look to trust. In my work, I fly around a lot in airplanes. I go visit churches and go speak at places. And I remember about a year ago I was on the plane flying, and I like to sit in the aisle because I like to go up and sit up and down and walk around. And in the middle seat, this very old elderly lady, grandmother, sat with me, and it was their first time flying. And then in the window seat, there was a younger lady who looked like she flew on the airplane a few times. And, you know, I fly a lot, so, you know, the woman in the middle, the old grandmother, she was so scared. It was her first time flying. And she was like, do you think we're going to, the airplane might crash? And I'm like, don't say that. We're going to be kicked out, you know. And she's so scared and worried, and she's kind of shaking, and she's older. She's like, have you been on an airplane before? I'm like, you know, I've been on the airplane all the time. Don't worry, don't worry. And then in the window seat, there's a, you know, a young, she looked like a very accomplished executive. And she's like to the grandmom, it's fine. I flew in a few times. We're going to be fine. And, you know, I fly all the time. And I was like, it's going to be fine. And it's funny, I had I fly so much, I had like watermelon-sized faith that we're going to be fine. We're going to fly and we're going to land and we're going to be safe. And the woman at the window seat, she had cantaloupe-sized faith. We're going to be fine. And this grandmother in the middle, she had like golf ball-sized faith. Well, we took off. We flew across country. And we landed. And I'm still here, so we all made it. Whether we had watermelon-sized faith, cantaloupe-sized faith, or golf ball-sized faith, we all made it. Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Because it's not the size of your faith that matters, but it's who you have faith in. Who you put your trust in, who you believe and trust. And that is the call for you and I as believers in the gospel. No matter how impossible, no matter how much doubt and fear, Moses was called to put his trust in the great I Am. And you and I are called today to put our trust in the I Am, Jesus Christ, past, present, and future. That is your call in the good news of the gospel. Whatever situation you are, put your hope in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, be with Renewal Center City. And Lord God, as each of us face sometimes the impossible, and like Moses, we have doubts and fears and hardships, we look to the great I Am, the God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. That, Lord, even if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, it is faith not of us, but we have faith in You. Let us put our trust and hopes in You, whether in marriage, raising kids, singleness, in all stages of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.